Hello, and welcome to the Revealing Truth Ministries Wesley Chapel podcast. I'm Pastor Benjamin Smith, and I would like to invite you to come along with me on a journey. A journey through the Word of God where we will discover the truth that will change and enrich your life for the better. So what do you say? Will you join me on this journey? Yeah? Fantastic. Let's get started.
Thank you for this time. I thank you for everyone that is here. I thank you that they have ears to hear, Lord God. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I just thank you that He will give us revelation knowledge of what you are saying in your word. I thank you that it will cause lives to change for the better. I thank you that everyone here that is hearing will get a better understanding and a revelation of exactly who they are in you. And I just thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, the title of this message is The Revelation of Who You Are. So I ask you, who are you? And when I ask who are you, I means in reference to the word, in reference to what God says about you. There's a lot of things that I thought about, called the son and daughter of God, the servant of God, the righteousness of God in Christ, heir of the Father, joint heir of Jesus, part of the body of Christ, ambassador of Christ, and or heaven, God's workmanship, a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. All of those things I've heard, I've read in the Bible of who we are. What does all of this mean, though? What is it really saying about us? You know, as I prepared for this message, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to talk about, or what do you want this message to be about? He said, go to Ephesians. So I'm thinking, who are we? Who am I? Who are you? And in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, there's a whole list of things of who you are and who I am. You'll put it up. And I just want to write some of these things down so you see exactly what they are. You are a possessor of grace and peace. You are blessed with spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. You are chosen. You are holy. You are without blame. You are loved. You are adopted. You are accepted in the beloved. You are redeemed. You are full of wisdom. And there's more. You are full of sound judgment, prudence. You are knowledgeable of the mystery of His will. You are the possessor of an inheritance. You are predestinated, meaning God has a plan for your life. You are a believer. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are he or she that has faith in God. and you are he or she that love the saints. And that's just from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. There's more. There's plenty more throughout the word, but just the first chapter of Ephesians. You are all those things. All of that is in you. All of that is in us. But I'll talk about me. There's been times when I haven't had sound judgment. There are times when I didn't feel that I knew the mystery of his will. There are times when it seemed I lacked wisdom. There are times when I really wasn't walking by faith. There are times when I didn't have love for the saints, at least some of them. There are times and situations in which I didn't believe certain things. But according to the word of God, I have all of those things. So just being a possessor of something does not necessarily mean you always walk it out. Because right after Paul said all of these things about the church at Ephesus, he said, there's something that I'm praying for you to help with all of those things that are inside. Have you ever, and some of you may not have, but I have, have you ever went to a store or a restaurant or someplace and bought something and you paid for it and then you realize, man, I had a gift card for that. Absolutely. I could have got it for free. Mm-hmm. I have a card for gas for my employment. And they give me a gas card every month with a certain amount of money on that to pay for gas. Well, for a little while, I was rolling, and it's at Wawa. I done rolled in to 7-Eleven, then got gas, rolled in to Circle K, got gas. I'm like, man, I had this card. I could have got this for the free. I wouldn't even have to pay for it. But I wasn't mindful that I had it. I wasn't thinking about it. There's been times that I went to other places and got things and have had cards for them. And it's like, okay, you've paid for something that you didn't have to pay for. You're a possessor of something that said it's yours, but you paid for it. Or I paid for it when I had the possession to get it free. And a lot of times, we're the possessor of all these promises that God has given us. It's not even something that we're striving to get from God. Oh, God, give me this. No, God said, I've given it to you. But we don't see the manifestation of it because there's something that we're lacking. Beginning in verse number 16 through 23 in Ephesians, in King James Version, right after Paul said, you have all of these things. All of these things are on the inside of you. You possess them. It's not something you're trying to get. They're already yours. He says that he ceased not to give thanks for you. And they're talking about the church of Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let's stop right there. Paul is praying that you get the revelation of what you got. He is praying that you get an understanding that this is yours. That you get that revelation of what you have in Christ, what God has given us. That it goes beyond just, oh, I know that, to, I possess it, it's mine, and I'm walking in it. Amen? And what the exceeding greatness of his power toward us were, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. As praise and worship was going on, there was a lot of, there were just songs. It was like God was just telling, you know, just sharing things with me. One of the things is that when they were singing the song of Bow Down and Worship Him, Consuming Fire, Sweet Perfume, Awesome Presence, Fill This Room, This Is Holy Ground, God was saying, I'm that ground. You're that ground. His presence dwells on the inside of us. So that room is you. That room is me. The holy ground is us. God is on the scene in bodily form where we are. Saying this is holy ground, literally, you are holy. You're holy. So when he's talking about that whole, when that song is talking about that holy ground, it's talking about you. You possess holiness. You are set apart for his work. But sometimes the way holiness is talked about is something you're striving for. No, God says you are holy because he said he's holy. And he's in you. Period. There is no, I'm trying to get, no, you are holy. That's what it talked about. When you get a chance, go back and read Ephesians chapter 1 through 15, verses 1 through 15. It says, you are holy. He's talking about the church of Ephesus, which was Gentiles. They weren't Jews. I don't know if there's any Jewish people in here, but I know I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. But guess what? Christ came for us as well. And it'll even get to the point where he gets into chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's saying there's mysteries. that wasn't known by the Holy Spirit. God didn't make it known to the people before. But the mystery was revealed to Paul. And the mystery that was revealed to Paul is, I was sent to the Gentiles. I was sent to share Jesus amongst the Gentiles. I was sent to let you know that Jesus was not just for the Jews. As a matter of fact, it talks about us being adopted. We're adopted. And sometimes it has a negative connotation to it, adoption. Because they're thinking, the thought is, someone didn't want you. But let's put it in the proper perspective. When you got adopted, somebody did want you. And not only did someone want you, they chose you. Listen, I have a son named Jordan. I love him with all my heart. He was born in the family. Now, don't get me wrong, I love him. Do not get me wrong, I love him. But he was born into the family. It wasn't a, got any other choices? It was none of that. It was, he was born into the family. Adoption is like, I want that one. I want that one. We were adopted. I mean, God said, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. Want that one. Want that one. Want that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. Oh, God, but I got all these things. I know that. I still want you. But what about, I know that. I still want you. You know, in the Old Testament, children was wanted to give an inheritance to. Before Abraham had kids, Lot was going to be the person that he left an inheritance to. Then when they had to separate, Abraham was like, who am I going to leave all that I have to? God chose us to give an inheritance to. It says that he gave his very best for us so that he could share his love to us. So he can give not only his love, but, well, this is the thing. With God, love comes everything else. Everything else. Everything else. And those things that it's like, God, I'm believing you for healing. I've already given it to you. I'm believing you for finances. I've already given it to you. I'm believing you for wisdom. I've already given it to you. It's already inside. So what do? You draw it out. How is it drawn out? First, you agree with what God said, who you are and what you possess. Then you allow the Holy Spirit to make it come alive in you. Amen? Oh, went off. Paul explains. Here we go. Paul explains how God has given have given him and other apostles and prophets the hidden mysteries that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs with the Jews and partakers of Christ by the gospel. And he prays another prayer for the church at Ephesus. I was talking to you about chapter 2 and chapter 3. He goes in and he says there was a mystery about how the word would come to the Gentiles that hasn't been revealed, but it's been given to me. And the mystery is you all are going to have an opportunity to be partakers in the inheritance that God has given to the Jews as well. And then he prays a prayer. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." God wants you to know how much he loves you, to the depths of his great love for you, because if you get an understanding of that love, that great love, the price that was paid for you, you understand, man, he's giving me Jesus. And that was a heavy price that was paid. Oh, I'm giving you healing. Oh, I know that. Man, y'all no problem with that, because you gave me Jesus. You gave me the best that you had. Of course you'll give me healing. You've given all the finances you need. Of course you would. You've given me Jesus. You love me with an everlasting love. Of course you would give me the finances that I need. Wisdom. Of course he would give me wisdom. Of course I would... And that's when the revelation takes place. You got a revelation of God's love for you. You'll get a revelation that there's nothing that he's trying to withhold from you. Come on, Pastor. That there's nothing that he has not said, "I'm going to make sure that you win. I'm going to set it up that it's almost impossible for you to lose." When they were singing that song about how many doors of God that God opened up for me? He's been better than good to me. Yes, that's because he set you up for victory. He set you up for victory. Even when you don't have a full understanding, it's like, still, if there's any possible way to agree with me a little bit, oh, yes, Lord, I agree. Oh, victory just coming. He's been better than good to me. Yes, he has. Even when you don't understand, it's like, even when you don't have an understanding, it's like, man, God's been so good to me. He has been so good to me. That just when you, even in the revelation, you can go back through the years. It's like, man, there's so much that I didn't know about God, and he was still good to me. There was so much that I didn't know, and he still blessed me. Almost in spite of me. That's because you're from a position of victory. You're on the high ground. God has set you at the top of the hill. A lot of times when people think they're battling the devil, they're battling them face to face. No, we've been seated together with Christ in heavenly places. When we have our armor on, when we have our armor on, we're not fighting an armored foe. You take, let's say, a Navy SEAL. A Navy SEAL who's trained in combat. They know how to get the job done. As a matter of fact, they know how to kill. It's point blank, period. Special forces, elite special forces, know how to kill, ready for battle. Just ready. And then they go in to get the enemy. And when they get there, the enemy is on the floor, naked, arms and legs broken, ribs broken, can barely breathe. It's like, man, why am I here? There's no fight, no battle whatsoever. That's just a small example of how you are to the devil. You come in, you fully armed. You got on the whole armor of God. He's stripped naked in a corner down on the ground. Praise the Lord. I know that. Hey, it's the word. The word is always good. There is never a time that you cannot get anything out of the word. Praise the Lord. I listen to the same one. I love that English accent too. But that is kind of a comparison. It's like the Bible tells us to stand, but the devil wants you to wrestle. Bible tells us to stand in our position with our armor on, and guess what? There's unity. So not only are you standing with your armor on, but you're right next to your sister, right next to your brother, they got their armor on. Back in the day, Roman soldiers, when they fought, anyone ever seen 300? You saw how they get in their position where they get, and they're almost like a shell. I found out that their shields interlock. They interlock together. So not only do they have on everything, but their shields interlock with the other soldiers. So number one, they're a unit. They're many acting as one. The enemy wants to separate you, think you're all alone, but no, we're a body of Christ. Many members, one body. We are an army acting as one. So not only, even if it was just you by yourself and the enemy, total annihilation, because he's been stripped of all power, all authority, all that. He has nothing. But it's not just you. It's you, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. Do you know there's people praying around the world for you? When you're praying for people around the world. God, I don't know who I'm praying for. Just pray in tongues. I'll handle the rest. Praying a perfect prayer. You can be praying for someone you know, but you can also be praying for somebody that you don't know. Everyone wants to look at the division in the body. There's unity in the body. Because guess what? If I don't agree with you on 100 things, I can agree with you on this. Is Jesus Lord? Bam, we in agreement. There's unity. We agree, Jesus died for our sins, he rose again, we're in unity. Don't always look for the things that separate you from your brothers and sisters. Look for things that connect us. Because guess what? You're going to spend all eternity with them. You're going to see them. New heaven and a new earth. You're going to see them. You're going to run into them. We all gonna be praising and thanking God and bowing down before Jesus together. So might as well get our minds fixed on it right now. But the bottom line is, He's given us something. No, actually, He's given us a person, the Holy Spirit, that goes in. And Paul is praying that we get an understanding. We get a spirit of wisdom. We get revelation of the knowledge of God. We get an understanding of how much He loves us. Because once we get that revelation, once we get that understanding, God is not going to withhold things from you. There's been times in which, God, you really don't understand. I'm in this situation, and I don't see no way out. I didn't have the revelation of who God really was, not to where I needed it to be. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have to open up the book. You have to open up the app. You have to listen to the word. I can't read it. Turn on and listen. There are so many ways now to get the word. And as you get the word in, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, what does it mean to abide? Does anyone know? Teacher coming out at me, I apologize. To abide means to live. Jesus said, if you live in me and my word live in you, meaning it comes alive. The Bible says that the word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But it's alive. It's quick. Quick means it's alive. It's active. It means it's alive. And then when that word gets in you, it has to get past the point of, oh, I know that. You know what? For years, I knew John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But one day, that word became alive. I accepted Christ. He came and dwelled in me. Why? Because the word became alive. Because I had ears to hear. Because I agreed with it. Because faith came by me hearing. And it changed my life. And the more alive the word becomes in me, the more I begin to understand who God is and what He's done for me, what He's given me. The revelation of God's love. Man, God loves me so much. He loves me so much that His love for me allows me to love you all. Says, how is that? It's very simple. Before Christ, I ain't loved none of y'all. It was impossible for me to love anyone. I couldn't love myself. Very selfish, but I couldn't. Listen, God is love. So if God is love, the absence of God is absence of what?
Love.
People say, I love you. But without God, they can't. It's impossible. At least not the way God loves. You talk about love, they love to get the advantage. I love the way you look. I love the way you treat me. I love all these things. But guess what? If you stop treating me the way you treat me, I'm out. What about love is patient?
Yeah.
Love is long-suffering.
Yeah.
That's what God is. That's the way God is. So if you're not experiencing that, then I couldn't. So when I say I didn't love, I didn't know how to love. It was not a part of me in order to love. But when God came in, he gave me the ability to love because he came on the inside. And through his love, I was able to love other people. But it was based on a revelation of who God is, who God is to me. And it had to become alive. The Holy Spirit had to reveal that to me. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, let's say the Holy Spirit is our teacher. You can hear someone minister, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you on the word that's being said. So it doesn't mean, oh, since the Holy Spirit is my minister, I don't need to listen to nobody. I can go, you know, I can sleep in. I can do all of these things. I ain't listening to nobody. I ain't hearing nothing, because there's other word in the Bible that talks about coming together. Talks about the ministry of the body. But in doing that, the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it alive on the inside of us so that we really understand or get a revelation of what the word is saying. It's like this. I'm sure everyone been reading scriptures or a particular scripture for a long time, and then all of a sudden, wow, God just showed me this and just told me this about this scripture. I've been reading that scripture for about 10 years. Revelation has come. It's become alive on the inside of you. And God shows you how to apply it to your life. And it caused change. It's like you see that scripture in a whole different light. And God can do it again with the same scripture. And if you keep on reading, he will. But that's what happens. So we get this revelation from God of who we are, and I know exactly who I am. My identity is not based on what somebody says that's speaking contrary to what God says. God says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody say, oh, your life is trash. That's not what God says. You know what? You are useless. That's not what God says. Your whole family ain't been nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing. That's not what God says. But guess what? If you don't agree with what God says, if you don't know what God says, if you haven't let the Holy Spirit reveal what God says, then you'll listen. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But guess what? Beliefs just come by hearing, if you hear long enough. Because this is what typically happens. You'll hear something, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. And then when you say it, you begin to give it life. They said I wasn't worth nothing. I guess I'm not. Now you're agreeing. Two coming together to agree on the negative part, it's still going to produce. It's still going to produce. That's why you cast those things down. God said that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God said that he gave his very best for you, which means you're valuable. God says that he loves you with an everlasting love. Even if you don't understand why he loves you with an everlasting love, just know that he does. And if nothing else, that gives you value. You are priceless. Because God gave Jesus for you. And because God says that he loves you. I remember when I was a little kid, I'm gonna date myself. There was this song, I think it was Andre Crouch, but I'm not sure. But he used to sing this song, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. You're way before your time, Eric. I'm just messing with you. Yeah. But even if you don't understand, I got an understanding of why he loves me so much. Because he said he did. And that's good enough for me. But even if I didn't, for the simple fact that I know he does, that changes things. You have been equipped by God to live this life in victory. The enemy will attack you. Let's just get the cat out of the bag. I'm gonna share a little secret with you. Devil's trying to kill you. That's what you're trying to do. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. No need to be fearful about it, because if he was successful, everybody that's in here wouldn't be in here. So every time you wake up, you won, he lost. Every single time you wake up, you breathe in, devil lost again. He's a loser. So if he can't kill you, he's going to try and destroy everything about you, because it's trying to stop you, trying to prevent you from doing what God has ordained you to do and to be that victorious person. Guess what? He's not going to be successful at that either. So at least he'll try and steal things from you. But he's not going to be successful at that either. Because we're not ignorant of his schemes. We know exactly what it is that he's trying to do. And we just have to agree with the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to make it come alive in our hearts, and us just have total victory. I went totally away from these scriptures. Revelation is key. It can't be just head knowledge. Believers know things that they don't necessarily operate in. The word must become alive in us. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 in the NIV. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word is alive. Let it be alive in you. John chapter 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. skip down to 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. He is the vine. He is the life giver. The vine is in the branch. But without the vine, branch can't do much. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, verse 8, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's King James Version. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and him revealing things to us. We get an understanding, a revelation, knowledge from the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13 and 14 in the New King James Version says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Holy Spirit will tell you what's going to come. He'll tell you what's coming. Prepare you for what's coming. If you allow him to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That was an Old Testament scripture. But now continuing as New Testament believers, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Holy Spirit takes what God has said, he gives it to us. The mysteries. Remember we talked about before that we know the mystery of his will? That's because the Holy Spirit takes it and gives it to us. He gives it to us in a way that we understand. I talk to me and Pastor Shalita, we have conversations all the time. And it's interesting, but God talks to her, or Holy Spirit speaks to her totally different than the way he speaks to me. And she'll tell me, like, what he calls her and what he'll say. And it's like, he'll talk to Shalita and Shalita speak. Because when she's telling me what he said, I'm like, yeah, because that sounds like you and the way you would say things. And then when I tell her how he talks to me, it should be basically, yeah, that's how I talk to you. That sounds like something that you would say, or that sounds like the way you would say it. So we're one body, but different parts in particular. Each one of us is unique. God talks to each one of us a different way. He's telling us word, but he's telling us in a way that we can understand it. Like for me, for example, I love King James Version of the Bible. That's just me. Like it. Shalita, my wife, not so much. She'll be going to all different types, you know, different translations of the Bible. I get so much more out of the King James Version because that's what I like. But then she'll be telling me things that she's getting out of other versions. I'm like, oh, wow, that is good. I don't get nothing like that when I look at those. More times than not, when I'm talking about other translations, it's for your benefit. Because mine, I do everything in King James and be totally happy with it. But the bottom line is this. God will speak to you in a way that you understand, in a way that you can grasp it, in a way that you can take it, receive it, run with it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
We will truly walk in who we are in Christ when our revelation of God's word matches our knowing God's word. You ever talk to somebody, hey, this scripture, I know that. I already know that. I already know that. I already got that. Hey, Mike, I want you to read this. I already know that, God. Why isn't it a fruit of that area being seen then? Because we know. Well, because I know. We ain't gonna talk about no answer. Because I know. But this is the truth. When my revelation of God's word matches my I know God's word, I'll be walking in more revelation of actually who God is. From my spiritual pop or dad used to talk about mental ascent. Oh yeah, you know that up here. But it needs to get in here. I will leave you with this when it comes to that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When they heard the word, they could probably repeat what the word said. They didn't put their trust in it. And in them not putting their trust in it, they didn't give the Holy Spirit something to work with so he could reveal it to them and so they could walk in that revelation. We are not going to be those people. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the word that has gone forth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal those things to us so that it will become alive in us, and so we will walk in the revelation that you've shown us, and so that we could bear much fruit, and so we can represent you well. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. Without you, Lord, a lot of us do not know where we'd be. So we just thank you. We praise you. I thank you, Lord, that as a result of who you are, that people walk in a manifestation of healing. People walk in a manifestation of peace. They walk in a manifestation that every need that they have is supplied. Relationships are being restored. With the changing of our attitudes, the changing of the direction that we were going to, or we were going in, we thank you that you meet us there, Lord God. And even in our physical eyes, we can't see. In our physical thoughts, we don't know what to do. We thank you that you've given us wisdom. You've given us prudence. You've given us understanding. You've given us the victory. And so we do not focus on what our eyes can see and what our minds can think. We thank you, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And we thank you that as a result, it will bring glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining me on this journey. I am so glad you made the decision to come along. If this podcast was a blessing to you, please share it with someone. Allow their life to be enriched as well. To learn more about the ministry, go to www.revealingtruth.org. There you will find information concerning all of our other social media connections. Until next time, remember this. The truth has the power to make your life better, but it is the truth that you apply that actually gets the job done. So go out and apply the truth to your life today without delay. Chat with you soon.